Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Final four segments of our Shop Talk with Gene and Chris. We take stock of the state of the UFO and paranormal fields, and we've spent some time answering your questions, and there's a lot to go here. Some of these questions are really involved, require a lot of thought, and what that means is I think we've got maybe the best listeners on the planet, really.
I agree.
It's amazing the questions they come up with. It's amazing the things and the skills they have and the things they know about.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think we're very, very fortunate to have the quality of thinkers and quality of participants at forum.theparacast.com. Every time, practically, I go on that forum, I'm going to learn something or be turned on to a link to a story that then intrigues me enough to do some additional research. And it's just such a valuable resource for anyone that's interested in any of the many subjects that we cover here. And I can't thank everybody enough out there for your participation. I have another one from Technomage T, who's been a forum poster for about 10 months. He hasn't posted many messages, but he came out of the woodwork for this episode, Gene. Are you aware of any plan, or do you have any thoughts on forming an organization to actually make some progress on this topic? We've kind of covered that already, but he says the organization would be a genuine research organization that collects data, analyzes, and publishes the data. I think there are a lot of people on this forum who would actually like to use their various talents to furthering this field of study instead of only discussing it. Discussion is good, but research is better. I couldn't agree more. For example, I have a background in IT, databases, software development. Let Gene know, and we'll start working on the back end of the Paracast Plus software, get a view-only video stream going of the San Luis Valley camera project. We could use your help.
And by the way, I think the government needs you. The U.S. government needs you for the healthcare.gov website. Yeah. It is a mess. It's badly designed. I understand what they're trying to do, but maybe they hire the lowest bidder. I don't know. Maybe nobody wants to do that kind of thing. I mean, that's one of the reasons.
Well, when you get the lowest bidder, you get what you pay for.
It's usually not the lowest bidder. It's the bidder who sends you the check for the campaign.
Yeah.
But it's sure not working. I mean, how can you not be compatible with Safari on Macs? Right now, around the world, there are over 75 million Mac users.
Wow.
That's twice as many as just a few years ago.
Yeah.
It's astounding.
Yeah.
As far as an organization, I've done the organizational thing. I don't know if we want to do that, but I was thinking we go back to something you and I were talking about some episodes back about finding a way to fund specific research projects. I don't mean having the monthly magazine and the meetings and the organization, but funding projects to do actual field research.
Right.
Finding a way to raise the money for that. But the only person we know who does that is like a Robert Bigelow. Maybe Paul Allen, one of the co-founders of Microsoft, would do it. Maybe Steve Ballmer. You know, he's leaving Microsoft now. He's worth billions of dollars. Steve, get in touch with us.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there with deep pockets that you would think might have an interest in furthering our understanding of our place in the cosmos here. And I don't mean beaming radio signals, hoping ET broadcasts on AM talk radio.
We broadcast on AM talk radio, but we're not ET, I don't think. Of course, I'm only speaking of myself here.
Well, I think our listeners get my point on that. John Rayo, of course, has sunk a lot of his own money into the Open Minds efforts down there in Tempe. He has this really cool sort of, I don't know, it's like a camera with a radar unit or something that's kind of looks like a rocket launcher on the back of a little four by four. We need more people like Douglas Trumbull and his UFO Cat idea of having a full mobile functioning UFO hard data scientific array on wheels, like a Hummer with a roof that opens up and all these telescopes, cameras, and radar units and stuff pop out. I think this is a step in the right direction. I agree. Discussion helps further our understanding. Maybe educate ourselves a little bit with each other, but there's no substitute for hard data research. There really isn't, and that's a really good point that TMT brings up. We've got some other questions here. Should I keep going with these, Gene? Or?
Keep the cards and letters coming.
Yeah. Well, this one gets into some of the work that I've done here in the last few years on the trickster mechanism, as I refer to it. And this comes from Feral Normal Master, our good friend Raid Ridsdale, who has been a poster here at the forum.theparacast.com for a couple of years and is very active on the forums. He says he touched on this in his commentary on the most recent broadcast with David Weatherly, but he's asking, since I became aware of your work with Stalking the Tricksters, you've warned against the inhibiting factor of pop culture programming. But even with the more advanced theories out there, if after a period of time there is still no progress being made, will these advanced theories themselves become tomorrow's pop culture programming? That's a really good question, and I'm glad he asked it. I think that, you know, obviously there's a possibility that they could, but I think people have, if they're not educated and they don't do the amount of research and spend the time really bringing themselves up to speed, they're going to be influenced by the media. They're going to be influenced by popular thinking. And until these alternative theories and these new ways of looking at the box from outside of the box, until these areas become publicized, they become accepted, they become more well known, I don't think that they're going to be the pop culture paradigm of the future unless one of these theories actually presents some fruit and presents some motivation to change people's thinking and to attract the media. I'm finding now, I deal with production companies and the media quite a bit, and I've recently been getting calls from production companies wanting me to help come up with a new and different way of covering these subjects, a way that it hasn't been, you know, just bludgeoned to death, like chasing UFOs and UFO hunters. You know, these types of programs, I mean, you can only cover the old cases so many times before you really kind of run out of steam. And I think, you know, a real cutting edge, working on real-time cases, if possible, working on real, you know, late-breaking recent events, I think these types of this type of approach, I think, is compelling. And I think that there's a real thirst right now in the production side of the media. They want new ideas. They're really fishing for new and better ways to pull coverage of these subjects forward and to come up with new and different ways to do things. So that's kind of where I'm seeing it right now. I think there is a real need for taking this field forward so that the public has new and different ways of thinking about and looking at these subjects.
I think it's definitely important because so many of the people who are interested in UFOs think we're looking for spaceships. And that might be true, but that seems to be numero uno as far as belief systems are concerned. In fact, a recent survey now said that 52% of the U.S. population believes in UFOs being UFOs as spaceships. And I think the biggest problem, the biggest factor here is we have to separate that. We have to go back to, we've got a mystery, we're not sure what it is, but let's look at different theories, not that UFOs are spaceships, how do we tell the people about it? Because that basically leaves us in a state of tunnel vision.
Yeah,
we're always looking at the same thing.
It's just putting ourselves right back in the box. So I think we're at a real crucial point right now in how the media is looking at these subjects. I think they've kind of beaten the particular paradigm of how they're approaching these subjects. I think they've sort of beaten this approach into the ground, and I think they're really ripe right now for new and different approaches and innovation in how these subjects are being examined and then presented to the public. So I'm the eternal optimist when it comes to these sorts of questions, and I would really like to think that there's people out there that aren't just involved in this to make money, that they're actually involved in this to present quality programming and get people educated and get them thinking. I think that that's the important thing, and that should be an overriding motivation, ideally.
Here's an overriding motivation. We'll explain it to you. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you. Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Today, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, October 11th, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $1,288.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,335.60, $667.80 for a half ounce, or $333.90 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,335.60, $667.80, and $333.90.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder. And it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder, available only at hempusa.org.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
It's amazing how many questions we've had from our listeners in the short time in which we announced this episode, which is a talking shop session with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. Question most recently being about, again, the various theories of UFOs. But I don't know, how do we break the syndrome of it's got to be ET or nothing?
Well, that's going to be a tough one. And until we have enough data to support or, you know, somehow validate that particular foregone conclusion. I think it's always going to be there. I think it really taps into a deep part of the collective human psyche to want to be important enough for something out there to come here and be interested enough to observe us, to interact with us at times.
And not want to eat us for lunch.
Or save us from all our problems, save us from ourselves. I think that that's the least likely explanation right now. I think we are dealing with a lot of closed system phenomena. You know, again, that really just, I know that rubs many people the wrong way, but I think we should factor out all potential closed system scenarios before we jump off planet. I'm not saying that ETs don't exist. There's probably trillions of civilizations or life, different types of life forms out there. But, you know, are we as a primitive, misogynist, violent, self-absorbed, closed system, are we important enough for them to come interact with us? Are we somebody's ant farm? Are we some sort of software program by some multidimensional 15-year-old?
I like the last one. That we don't really exist, we're somebody's software program. But that takes us back to the Matrix concept.
Yeah, well.
Maybe explain some of the anomalies in our reality, which is, of course, that the 15-year-old's a little bit crazy. But that almost goes back to what John Keel said about God being a computerized intelligence that is not entirely sane.
I love that. When I first read it, it really made me scratch my head. The Eighth Tower, I think, isn't that the book that it's in? Here's another one about the trickster. And this is an interesting question, which I have an interesting answer to. Again, this comes from our good friend, formerly known as Spooky Mulder. I touched on this in my commentary in the most recent broadcast with David Weatherly as he starts out his list of questions. He says, if there was a trickster mechanism involved, could it be leading us around by the nose and steering us into dead ends, which may be why we find ourselves going around in circles, because that is the way of the trickster? I absolutely disagree. I think it's the exact opposite. I think we're going around in circles on our own, and the trickster's trying to jerk us out of that and topple our beliefs and create room for creativity and for forward progress. So, no, I think it's the exact opposite. If anything, we're leading ourselves around in circles, and the trickster's trying to break us out of that.
So, Chris, the trickster is here to make us think.
The trickster, yeah, it's a mechanism of change. It's a mechanism of creativity to create the room within static structures, to topple those structures so that there's room for growth, forward progress, and creativity.
Well, as Ray Palmer once said, the flying saucers are here to make us think. Next question.
Okay. If the trickster mechanism was involved and may be becoming sentient, as you hypothesized, would it not want to be acknowledged? That's a good question. I would think that it wouldn't want to be acknowledged. I think that the mechanism is becoming self-aware, maybe developing an agenda, but the first thing, if it became self-aware, I think the first thing it would realize is it's got to really maintain its invisibility, and so it would be able to more effectively do the things that I just mentioned, that sort of tricksterish mechanism is, you know, thought to be responsible for creating change, toppling static structures. I think anytime you're toppling the status quo, you better be as Teflon-like and invisible as possible, or somehow there's going to be kind of a backlash or a riptide effect that goes on with a target on your backside if you're not careful. So if the trickster is developing some sort of self-awareness, I think it would really attempt to hide as effectively as it has in this modern world.
So you're assuming here the trickster does not now have a self-awareness.
Well, again, I don't know. My suspicion is that we are...
Well, I thought you talked to the trickster every day. That's why I'm asking.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. That's personifying the trickster. The trickster is more of a mechanism. It's more of a liminal force, really, I think, that's kind of a trigger. And it gets triggered at the proper time to create the change and room for creativity and growth within the culture. You know, and I think the fact that there's so many tricksterish events within the UFO realm, I have been toying around with a third stalking book, and that would be stalking the UFOs and really putting down all the amazing, inexplicable cases that have these bizarre elements to them that just don't make sense. You know, I've mentioned this before on the show. I've had witnesses to UFO events report sightings, report encounters even, but not give me all the details. And then later, after they felt comfortable, they'd say, you know, I was going to tell you this when I originally met you and reported this particular event, but if I had told you this then, you probably wouldn't have believed me and you wouldn't have taken me seriously. And then they'll mention something that just is just like makes you scratch your head and go, what? You know, I could pull out a bunch of examples on that one, but moving right along, I really think that this is a very fruitful avenue of inquiry. I think, you know, the inexplicable nature of many of these so-called paranormal events is important. Not enough attention and study and thinking, I think, has been applied to these elements. That's what I attempted to accomplish with the Stalking the Trickster book, is get people thinking that maybe there is an interconnectedness between divergent and seemingly unrelated paranormal phenomena. And that leads me to one of our questions here. This one, again, is from TMT, Technomage T. You both seem to think that the UFO phenomenon can't be easily explained by the ET hypothesis. What evidence do you have that the anomalies you're aware of have anything to do with the UFO phenomenon? In other words, could it be the classic UFO nuts and bolts sightings and encounters are ETs, while the other strange things, Bigfoot, apparitions, high strangeness events, are completely unrelated? After all, we live on a strange planet. It's our strange planet. He says there may be lots of independently strange things going on. And I agree. I agree with that. But I think that there is a reason why these seemingly unrelated types of phenomena, why they appear to manifest where they do, to the persons or witnesses that they manifest to, the timing of these events. I think that there is some sort of underlying connection that may, in one sense, be the trickster mechanism or some sort of subroutine that's operative. I've always had that feeling of interconnectedness. Sure, we could have independent types of phenomenal events occurring, and they may be unrelated. The evidence would suggest that. We don't have any evidence to suggest otherwise. But I just have always had that intuition, that sneaking hunch, that there is, on some level, a connection between many of these events.
But the key is to look at both possibilities, whether they are connected or not. If you dismiss one out of hand, you're not doing a full investigation. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food? What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new E-Patch 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried the vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Way on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my 2 workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we are taking a bit of a break from our regular roster of guests and listener roundtables to present a Talking Shop episode. We talk about the plans for the Paracast, the future, the past, about a possible Paracast UFO paranormal conference. And we're answering your questions. And they are really fascinating questions. Chris, you got a couple more?
I do. This comes from Polterwurst, who's one of our prolific posters at forum.theparacast.com. He's been part of the family here for a couple of years. And he says, Chris, what happened to your idea of interviewing a psychic on the show or do a kind of on-air experiment with her? He says, I guess that was a woman that you've been working with. What about that bad feeling you had about this summer? I mean, for you to mention that several times, it must have been quite unnerving and not just some normal, unspecific anxiety about the future. Well, let me deal with this two-part question this way. First of all, I do think that this idea of doing a live experiment with a psychic is a good one, and I do have someone in mind for this. So this is something, thank you for reminding me, I really should contact her, and we'll set up a way for people to be able to call in during the taping so that we can go ahead and get a sense of how accurate her alleged psychic abilities are. And I've seen her in action, so I do personally feel that there's something there. And she's very well considered by her clientele, very faithful clientele that she's had in some cases for many years. So that's a good idea. Thanks, PW, for reminding me. I'm going to give Narup a call, and let's line that up, Gene. As far as the bad feeling that you're, as you call it, about this summer, I think what you're referring to is when we were talking about the 2012 and you know, the alleged end of the Mayan, you know, Bakhtun and all that. And I was making the comments that I doubt anything was going to happen around that December 12th, 21st time period. I said, if the trickster's involved, it's probably going to happen when we're least expecting it. And I went against my own dictum of never prophesizing or predicting by saying that it would probably be sometime in the late, I think I said late summer, possibly early fall. Well, we're past that time period, so call me Ed Dames if you want. But I just have a sense that we've got something coming down the pike, and it may be involved with this current budget crisis with the government. Maybe that's going to be a linchpin to really start a ball moving. But I do have a sense that that we're going to be seeing some real interesting times coming up here. It's that old, you know, alleged Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. Well, I think we do. And I just have a sense that, you know, there's kind of a psychic holding of the breath going on right now and collectively. And it'll be interesting to see how a lot of these things play out socially, politically, militarily, and maybe nature might chime in and give us something else to think about. So what do you think, Gene?
I think you've summed it up.
Wow.
Leave it at that. Let's go to the next question.
Okay, I think we pretty much hit them all.
As you were talking, a plane is passing over this studio. I wonder. It's not a black helicopter, folks. It's a plane. I've never seen a black helicopter. But you have, haven't you, Chris?
I was reported I was flying the thing when it was reported as a black helicopter harassing a herd of cattle in the San Luis Valley. I was in the midst of a photographic trip around the valley in a dark purple two-man helicopter, and the pilot let me fly it back from Monta Vista about 50 miles or so back to Crestone, and I was kind of zooming around and, you know, I dive bomb a couple of herds, and evidently the rancher saw me and he called the sheriff, and the sheriff and two deputies raced out in their squad cars and tried to follow me as I headed northeast, and they were unable to keep up with me because I was flying in a straight line and they were having to do all the, you know, the 45 degree turns around ranches and stuff. And the next day the Rocky Mountain News had an article. Mysterious black helicopter, or, you know, harassing cattle herds in Monta Vista or something. And I got such a kick out of that. Yes, Dean, I have seen black helicopters.
I wanted to ask you, though, before you answer that question. When you flew this helicopter, do you have a pilot's license?
No, I didn't. He said, just keep your feet off the rudders, off the pedals, and you can go ahead and just use the stick and fly it. And he kind of watched me like a hawk when I started out, and he saw that it was – flying a helicopter is actually very easy. It's landing and taking off that's difficult. It's the hovering and being able to operate the rudders. That's where the real skill comes in. Once you're flying and moving forward, it's fairly easy to operate. Anybody can do it. But choosing to fly down and swoop down on cattle herds was probably not the best idea in the midst of a cattle mutilation wave. We could have taken a 30-06 round through the canopy or something. I didn't even think of that at the time, but, boy, somebody called me and said, whoa, there was a black helicopter chasing cows yesterday. And all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, that was me.
Do you ever think that maybe some of these other black helicopter reports are just people flying around doing their thing?
I think so. I think there's a lot of misinterpretation of some of these choppers. And again, we have to realize that any dark-colored helicopter seen against the blue sky is going to appear black. So that's a bit of a misnomer. There are black helicopters. I've seen extremely dark green helicopters that have black lettering on them so that they appear to be black and unidentified. There are some military choppers with that color scheme. I have seen true black helicopters, though. I have seen them. And I have tons of reports in my book coming up. It's just filled with report after report after report of choppers shooting at ranchers, choppers stealing pigs, choppers supposedly involved in weird overflights of some of the missile silos up in Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana, for instance. We've had reports of fleets of helicopters seen around areas where cattle have been reported in a disfigured, mutilated style condition, whatever. So it's a ongoing, you know, theme in the book is these helicopter reports. And And to actually have to take fire from one of these as a rancher, I had no idea that cases like that existed. And there have been literal, you know, gunfights, shots exchanged from ranchers on the ground and helicopters. So once you look at all this information about the tie-in with helicopters and, for instance, the cattle mutilation phenomenon, it really starts to make you think that maybe there's something going on that's not ET involved, that's not that's something much more down to earth, homegrown and funded with your tax dollars, potentially. So that's one area that I think some researchers who really want to tout the ET as the mutilating force in these cases, they tend to discount and sort of throw out that whole data set. And unfortunately, you can't. And as my book will show, this is an ongoing feature of this particular mystery. And there's hundreds, I would say close to 400. We're well above 300, probably around 350. Potentially even higher than that. Real good documented reports of helicopters seen in and around cattle mutilation sites.
Do you think that large businesses are trying to put smaller ranchers out of business?
I do.
So that's part of it. It's agribusiness is fighting back to get the competition to give up the business.
Well, isn't it interesting that many of the areas of real high incidence are now out of business. These small ranches are out of business, and in the place of them are these huge super industrialized feedlots. If you look around Greeley, Colorado, areas of Kansas, areas of Texas, where these large industrialized operations are, is where there used to be a lot, thousands of small ranching operations. 80% of the ranches that were in operation in the 70s are out of business now.
Oh, boy. We can look at a conspiracy theory just about that alone.
Yep.
Christopher O'Brien telling you more about this book called Stalking the Herd. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
When the day comes where the world changes forever, you can be ready at a moment's notice. With Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's completely mobile and ready to go. All the comforts of an RV, but custom-built to outlast any other trailer. Learn more at survivalistcamps.com. Due to overwhelming response, limited inventory is available. Be ready with survivalistcamps.com. Survivalist Camps, providing your basic needs to survive.
What if you had a witness everywhere you drive? Now you can with video-cam.com. From truckers to motorcyclists, the handy video dash cam can be used for insurance claims, accidents, police encounters, road rage, or natural disasters. Has instant screen playback and optional night vision. Get the best quality, affordable HD dash cameras available at video-cam.com. That's video-cam.com. Or call 855-855-2022. Always have a witness with video dash cam.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Stanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we've come to this. We're talking about the possibility here that maybe some of the things seen in connection with cattle mutilations, it's large industries hiring hitmen, cattle hitmen, to do this, to fly around their helicopters. But you saw black helicopters, Chris O'Brien. Tell us more.
Well, there have been a number of incidences which appeared to be black helicopters, unmarked, especially down in the around the border area between Colorado and New Mexico. I've had a number of sightings of these types of you know, mystery helicopters, for lack of a better term, down there. Oftentimes you see them from a distance, and if you're lucky enough and they fly closer to you, you know, I always have binoculars with me. I attempt to scope them out. I saw in one case a helicopter that had smoke glass windows, which I think is pretty rare. You don't see that very often. And it was a shiny black, you know, it was a Black Hawk, actually, helicopter, and it had smoke glass windows and a windscreen. So they're out there. What they're up to, who's operating them, who's responsible for them, who's tasking them, is still, I think, up in the air. And I don't want to spoil too much of some of the conclusions that I'm going to be presenting in the book, but they're just absolutely directly tied in with this whole mystery. And, you know, I don't care how many theories you come up with, you can't throw those hundreds and hundreds of reports out with the baby. It's doing yourself a disservice if you're really serious about unraveling this mystery. Without sounding like I'm on some sort of soapbox here or self-promotion tour.
That'll come later.
Yeah, this book is really going to make some people think about it. Let's put it that way.
Just because something is strange doesn't necessarily mean it has to be paranormal. And I think one of the big things about this field is we have to get rid of the stuff that has no paranormal aspect. Not that it's not a mystery and that's not important. Certainly, cattle mutilations, even if it has nothing to do with ET or interdimensional phenomena or anything like that, is important. As long as we look at the impact to society, right, to the industry, very important. It doesn't have to be paranormal. And once we get rid of all the non-paranormal stuff, we still have lots of wacky things going on that we have to try to understand. And the question we keep asking ourselves is, we have all these great investigators. We mentioned them earlier in the show, we have a number of really top-notch investigators who are considering all sorts of interesting possibilities. They're trying to figure out what's going on. They're trying to figure out why it's going on. And at the end of the day, as we go to the final part of this show, is there any way we can possibly look for an end game? I don't think so. I think that the UFO field remains stuck in a rut. It's still doing the stuff that it was doing back in the 1950s. The UFOs are ET. The government has guilty knowledge. Let's get disclosure and sit back and we'll know what's going on. We don't need to prove anything because the government will come to our rescue. And as we know, the government is not very good about coming to our rescue very often.
They can't even come to their own rescue.
There is that.
Yeah, well, I just hope that this thing gets funded real quick and we get back to business as usual, compounding our debt, because it's really kicking my tail not having that park open, and it's really hurting me personally to not have that park open. And I know many of the businesses around the national parks are really hurting right now. And it's just, when you hear stories of people just driving by trying to slow down to see Mount Rushmore and they're hustled on their way, by park officials, not to stop, or they're spending more money chasing people away from, some ocean, national, parks and monuments down in Florida. They're spending way more money just keeping people away than they would if they were paying people to have the place open. So there's a real penny-wise, pound-foolish scenario going on here. And a lot of people are going to, if this continues, a lot of people are going to be hurt, and this country's credit rating is going to be severely impacted. And they better get their proverbial murday together.
Well, as we talk, by the way, this may be partly resolved. There's talk of a temporary increase in the debt ceiling, so let's not get too far into it, because what we say is going to be outdated by the time our listeners get to hear this show.
Yeah.
But we see how it's affecting everybody, but it also goes to show that if the government is this incompetent, and it's not just now, wherever you look, there's always been bureaucratic waste, incompetence, whatever, how can we possibly expect the U.S. government or any of the foreign governments to have guilty knowledge about UFOs and other paranormal mysteries, and to have been able to keep those secrets for all these years? How could they keep the secret about the Roswell wreckage? How could they keep any of this stuff a secret if they just can't even get out of their own way? Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest things that people who believe that have not answered. How do you take an incompetent government and assume they are competent in one area, UFO secrecy?
Yeah, good point.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
I also think that if any answers come from the UFO field, it won't be because we wait for the government to give it to us. It is because individual investigators will get together finally and figure out ways to investigate what's going on and look for answers wherever the mystery takes them.
Yeah.
Don't assume it's going to take you to any particular place, like ET or whatever, or interdimensional manifestations or crypto-terrestrials. Don't assume anything. As soon as you assume something, you're going to basically put yourself in a box.
No.
And we've been in a box so long, you understand why I also wrote this newsletter item about whether the UFO field is toxic. Why? You look at all the chatter online about what's going on, especially by true believers of one sort or another. We look at the arguments. I know there's some people out there who don't like what we do at the Paracast, so they have editorials complaining about us. They have blog entries complaining about us.
Really?
Yeah, there are a few of those out there. I know that Ufology, one of our regular forum posters at forum.theparacast.com, mentioned that. And he said, some of those things are exaggerated. Some of those things are just not true. We're not at them. But we're just trying to figure out what's going on. And we hope people will join with us. And if you disagree with us, please don't be disagreeable. It doesn't take us anywhere. Maybe flame wars are good to get that traffic. They want to get all that Google AdSense dollars to their site. They figure if they start an argument, maybe you or I will go to their site and we'll start a big flame war. On a limited basis, I visited a few of those sites and tried to talk sense to them, then realized that they don't care what you say. They have their own agendas. And that's why, for example, we don't mention a lot of the other shows. You know, we're happy that people are in this field. They have a sincere interest to put on a radio show, whether it's commercial or a podcast or something. That's fine. You know, more power to them. But when they are simply becoming the problem, I prefer they get out of the way.
No.
Just get out of the way.
No.
You know, let the people who are trying to sincerely discover what's going on, let them do it. Chris, before most people listen to the show, you'd be on your way to Minnesota. And before the next show, you'll be doing a presentation. Tell our listeners briefly what that's all about.
Well, I've been working I'm starting to work on my photographs for the book, and it's a perfect opportunity for me to create a Stalking the Herd PowerPoint presentation and start to devise a presentation around the material that I'm going to be presenting in the book. And so I'm going to be covering the new book, and I've been collecting, you know, over the years, many wonderful pictures that relate to the information, and it's not all dead cows, believe me. So I'm going to be covering the material in the new book.
That's going to be fascinating. Wish I could go there, but you'll tell us about it later when you get back. The book is Stalking the Herd from Adventures Unlimited Press, coming probably in November at this point, I think.
End of the month, yeah.
Okay. Chris can also be found at OurStrangePlanet.com because the Strange Planet, and he's got a lot of good entries and discussions and investigations there. You can find us on Twitter, where we are known as the Paracast. We are the Paracast on Twitter. There's also a Paracast fan club on Facebook. In fact, there are two. And someday, someone will show us how to make it one. It's going to happen one of these days. But right now, this has been our Shop Talk episode for the fall of 2013. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com. Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.